So picture a boardroom at a massive Fortune 500 company. The marketing executives have just spent, literally $3 million on a highly polished, celebrity-driven commercial.
Right, the classic top-down approach.
Exactly. They launch it, and the metrics just come back completely flat. But meanwhile, a 19-year-old in a messy bedroom just posted a shaky, unedited phone video reviewing a drugstore lip gloss.
And the product sells out nationwide in 48 hours.
It totally sells out. And if you've been paying any attention to digital marketing lately, you know this scenario isn't like a hypothetical. It is happening every single day.
It really is, yeah.
And today's deep dive is all about exactly how top brands are weaponizing that reality. We are unpacking a comprehensive guide on TikTok Spark ads, basically to figure out why the traditional built from scratch commercial is just being systematically abandoned.
What's fascinating here is that the shift we are looking at in the source material, it represents a complete inversion of how advertising budgets are deployed. I mean, for decades, the model was entirely top-down.
Right, they manufacture the demand.
Exactly. Brands would rely on executive intuition, focus groups, high production value. They would build an ad, fund the distribution, and just kind of hope the market responded. But now we're entering an era of bottom-up verification.
Bottom-up verification. I like that.
Yeah, the core philosophy of this guide is that you no longer fund the experiment, you know? You let the organic ecosystem run the experiment for free, and you only put your budget behind the undeniable proven winner.
Okay, let's unpack this because it fundamentally changes the risk profile of advertising. To put it in perspective, traditional advertising feels a lot like opening a high-end restaurant based purely on a hunch about what people want to eat.
Oh, that's a good way to look at it.
Right. You spend a fortune on the decor,
Yeah.
you design the menu, hire the staff, and then you open the doors and just pray. People show up. It's like throwing very expensive spaghetti at the wall.
To see what sticks.
Exactly. But the Spark ad model is completely different. It's like walking through a bustling street market, finding a tiny food stall that already has a line stretching around the block, and simply, buying them a bigger sign and a faster grill. You already know the product works because the line is right there. It's finding the noodle that already stuck and putting a gold frame around it.
That captures the dynamic perfectly. And to understand how this works mechanically, we really have to look at the anatomy of a Spark ad.
So what actually is it?
Well, when we say a brand is putting money behind a proven winner, we mean they're taking an existing organic TikTok post. This could be from their own brand account or, honestly, more often from an independent creator.
Right, user generated.
Exactly. And they turn it into a paid advertisement using a specific authorization code that the account owner provides.
But the defining feature here, and what makes it completely different from a normal ad, is the preservation of the post, right? Like everything stays completely intact.
Yes, exactly. The video itself doesn't change.
The original caption, the creator's profile picture, their handle, and all those pre-existing engagement metrics, the millions of views, the hundreds of thousands of likes, the specific comments, the share counts, they remain fully visible to the user.
Which is huge for social proof.
Totally. The only visible modifications are like a small sponsored label added to the interface and a call to action button floating at the bottom.
Right. And we should clearly contrast this with standard in-feed ads to highlight why this matters.
Yeah.
Because when an advertiser builds a standard non-Spark ad, they just upload a raw video file directly into the ads manager.
Right, it's brand new.
Yeah, that video does not live on anyone's public profile. It's essentially a phantom piece of content. So when the campaign goes live, it starts with zero likes, zero comments, zero shares. It has absolutely no social proof.
And worse, when that specific campaign ends, any engagement the ad managed to accrue, it just vanishes completely. It just disappears into the void. All that money spent generating likes and comments, and you don't even get to keep the equity on your page.
Right. Now, standard ads do sit alongside other ad formats on the platform, which they all serve very different functions. You have top view ads, which are those massive videos that take up your entire screen the literal second you open the app.
Oh, yeah, those are impossible to miss.
Very disruptive, yeah. You also have brand takeovers, which are static or video ads that interrupt you before you even reach the feed, and branded effects, like the custom AR filters, maybe a branded makeup try-on or a virtual game you control with your face.
Right, but those formats are all about manufacturing a massive temporary spike in awareness.
Exactly. A Spark ad is completely different. It is about amplifying something that is already succeeding in reality.
But doing that requires a brand to relinquish total control over the creative output, which, I mean, that goes against every instinct a traditional brand manager has.
Oh, it's terrifying for them.
Right. Because the hard and fast rule of the Spark ad authorization process is that once you link that code, the post is locked. You cannot edit it. At all.
Not even a little bit.
If you are a brand, you cannot go in and swap the background music to something you own the rights to. You can't fix a grammatical typo in the creator's caption. You can't tack on your glossy corporate logo at the end. From a legacy perspective, spending $100,000 promoting a video with a typo sounds insane. Why is locking the post as is actually an advantage?
Because any corporate intervention immediately destroys the exact authenticity that made the post successful in the first place. The original, untouched identity of the post, that is the asset you are buying.
Right, the rawness.
Yes. Users have developed an incredibly sophisticated radar for corporate polish. If a brand manager takes a raw creator video and decides to, you know, clean up the lighting, color grade the footage, add a corporate jingle, the viewer registers that polished aesthetic in milliseconds.
They immediately smell an ad.
Exactly. The brain categorizes it as a commercial, and the viewer instantly scrolls past. The raw, unedited, slightly messy nature of the post isn't a limitation to be fixed. It is the primary value proposition. It keeps the viewer watching.
Because we trust things that look real. But okay, that's the human psychological side of the equation. We know that displaying existing likes and comments builds social proof for the human viewer. But what about the computer side? How does the algorithm actually utilize those numbers behind the scenes?
Well, the algorithm looks at the history of the video to give itself a massive head start. I mean, a machine learning algorithm's entire job is to figure out the demographic profile of the person who will react positively to a video.
Right.
So when you launch a standard cold ad, the algorithm has to spend your budget just testing the waters. It shows the ad to different pockets of users, waits to see who watches it, and slowly builds a profile of the target customer. That discovery phase wastes money.
It's essentially paying the algorithm to learn on the job.
Exactly. But a Spark ad comes with a built-in data set. Because the post has already lived organically, it's already accumulated high watch times, specific types of likes, shares among specific friend groups.
Oh, wow. So it already knows the audience.
Right. The algorithm already knows the precise demographic characteristics, the overlapping interests, the viewing habits of the people who engaged with it. So when you put paid budget behind it, the algorithm doesn't have to guess. It just looks at the historical data and immediately finds more people who look exactly like the organic audience.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. This becomes vital when we contextualize it within the timeline of digital privacy changes over the last few years. Specifically, Apple's iOS 14 update.
Oh yeah, the big one.
For a quick refresher, that update allowed iPhone users to universally opt out of being tracked across different apps and websites. Before that, an advertiser could easily track your behavior. They knew you looked at a pair of shoes on a website, and they could target you with an ad for those exact shoes the next time you opened the social media app.
It was a marketer's dream.
Right.
Right.
But iOS 14 broke that chain. It was like someone walking into a massive crowded party and abruptly shutting off the main breaker. Finding your specific target customer in that darkness became incredibly difficult because the tracking signals got so noisy.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the privacy changes forced a structural evolution in the advertising industry. Because off-platform tracking degraded so severely, platforms were forced to rely on the signals they could still see with perfect clarity.
And those are the on-platform signals.
Exactly. How long a user lingers on a specific video, which creators they share via direct message, what they comment on. Prioritizing those organic signals is no longer just some trendy marketing strategy to appear relatable. It has become a mathematical necessity for survival in modern digital advertising.
Right, because the organic engagement sitting on a Spark ad operates entirely differently. Since those likes, comments, and watch times all happen natively inside the app, they aren't blocked by Apple's tracking restrictions. It acts like a flare gun going off inside the dark party. It clearly illuminates exactly where your audience is standing.
The algorithm requires that clean, on-platform data to function efficiently, and Spark ads provide that data natively.
So if the flare gun actually works, we should see it reflected in the actual performance data, right? I mean, theory is great, but the guide we're analyzing brought some serious quantitative receipts.
Oh, the performance gap between standard in-feed ads and Spark ads in the data is undeniable.
Yeah, let's run through these statistics from the source because the margins are staggering. Compared to standard ads, Spark ads yield a 134% higher completion rate. People are literally more than twice as likely to actually finish watching the video.
Which is huge for brand awareness.
Huge. And they generate 157% higher 6-second view-through rate. But when we look at actual business outcomes, they drive a 69% higher conversion rate, meaning actual sales or signups. And for the financial side, they result in a 37% lower cost per acquisition. You're paying significantly less to acquire a customer, and the conversion volume is much higher.
Those numbers only really make sense when we dive into the qualitative case studies provided material. Like, the L'Oreal campaign is a prime example of decentralized proof.
Tell me about that one.
Well, they generated 161 million impressions for a product line launch. But they did not achieve that by producing one massive central hero commercial and forcing it into people's feeds.
Right.
They sourced dozens of ordinary creator uploads. They found micro-influencers and everyday users who are already testing the products on different skin types in different lighting conditions with varying opinions. They sparked a vast array of these authentic, low-production videos.
So the scale was achieved because the content had already been validated by the organic ecosystem before a single dollar was spent amplifying it.
Exactly. And the Hourglass Cosmetics case study illustrates this from a creative standpoint. They utilized a creator's video demonstrating a specific lip product combination.
I remember reading about this one.
Yeah, and when you watch the video, what makes it effective is entirely defined by what is missing. There is no trending audio playing in the background, no snappy, fast-paced editing tricks or transitions. There isn't even a professional ring light.
Just a person and a camera.
Literally just a creator talking straight to the lens, physically applying the makeup in real time, and calmly discussing why she likes the combination. The lack of production value is exactly what forces the viewer to focus on the actual product performance.
And then you have the Necessaire case study, which highlights a psychological barrier that traditional corporate marketing really struggles to overcome.
Oh, the deodorant one.
Yes. They used a creator's unscripted reaction to their deodorant. And in the middle of the video, the creator actually makes a joke about how the product is too small and that she needs a bigger size because she's running out so fast.
Which is so funny because in a traditional ad agency setting, a brand manager would instantly flag that line and demand a re-edit.
Immediately.
The instinct is to never imply the product is deficient in any way, even jokingly.
But Necessaire left it in and sparked the video as is. That unscripted, slightly self-deprecating moment is precisely what signaled to the viewer that this was a genuine review, not a scripted endorsement.
Right.
But observing the through line of these examples, the decentralized L'Oreal uploads, the raw Hourglass application, the Necessaire size joke, it seems like the less ad-like the content is, the better it performs. Which leads me to ask, is the ultimate goal of a Spark ad basically to trick the user into not realizing they're watching an ad?
It is a common assumption, but I would argue that is a misread of the platform's user psychology. The goal is not deception. I mean, the platform mandates that the sponsored tag is always visible on the screen. Users are highly digitally literate, you know. They know they are watching paid placement.
So if it's not deception, what is it?
The true goal is native alignment. When you open a platform like this, you are entering a specific content consumption mindset. You're there to be entertained, to learn something quickly, or to see genuine reactions in raw tutorials. You are not in the mindset to watch a highly stylized television commercial.
You want it to feel native.
Exactly. By leaning on a creator's authentic voice, a brand isn't tricking the user. They are meeting the user exactly where they are, providing the exact format of content the user actually wants to consume in that moment. That native alignment earns a level of attention and trust that a studio shot ad simply cannot manufacture.
It's providing value in the native language of the platform, but finding these raw, authentic hits sounds a bit like catching lightning in a bottle. You're relying on a creator to make a compelling video, hoping the algorithm picks it up organically, and then swooping in to fund it. How do top brands systematically recreate this without just getting lucky?
Well, they engineer a comprehensive system to manufacture that luck. Top brands don't treat Spark ads as a one-off trick. The source material details what is known as a strategy loop.
Okay, a loop.
Yeah, it is a highly deliberate, continuous four-step cycle. First, you seed the ecosystem by having creators post organically. Second, you monitor the analytics meticulously. You are not looking for vanity metrics. You're looking for real engagement, like high retention rates. Third, you initiate Spark ads exclusively on those clear data-backed winners. And fourth, you continuously feed the pipeline to start the cycle over again.
So what does this all mean? It operates almost exactly like a baseball minor league farm system.
Oh, yeah.
You have all these prospects, the organic posts, playing in the minor leagues. They are out there generating stats without costing you massive advertising dollars. You watch their batting averages and their on-base percentages, and you absolutely do not call a post up to the majors, which means paid spend, until it explicitly proves itself.
That is the exact mechanism. And to keep that minor league system fully stocked, brands have to rely heavily on user-generated content, or UGC. A brand cannot produce enough in-house content to test at the volume required. They need a massive, constant stream of organic content to analyze.
Which means partnering with hundreds of micro creators.
Exactly. The entire Spark ad strategy collapses if you don't have a robust organic pipeline feeding it.
And this structural shift isn't just limited to brand awareness campaigns anymore. The guide highlights a massive evolution in the e-commerce infrastructure itself. As of July 2025, something called GMV Max became the default, and actually the exclusively supported campaign type for all TikTok shop sales.
Which is a huge structural change.
Yeah, for those unfamiliar, GMV stands for gross merchandise value. It's just the total dollar amount of goods sold through the platform. What this means is that if you want to run ads to sell physical products directly inside the shop, Spark ads are no longer an optional add-on. They are fundamentally baked into the core commerce architecture.
If you are doing direct e-commerce, this strategy loop is the mandatory reality of your business, which brings us to the actual financial realities of operating within this system. The source material outlines some very rigid budget floors that have been implemented and strictly enforced for 2026.
Right, the 2026 minimums. You're required to spend $50 a day per campaign, $20 a day per individual ad group, and there is a hard $500 minimum total campaign budget requirement.
And if you don't hit those?
The system will either block the launch entirely or throttle the delivery so severely that it essentially won't run. And I have to push back on this from the perspective of a small brand manager. Why enforce these hard floors? A $500 minimum is a rounding error for L'Oreal, but for a small e-commerce seller, that is a massive barrier to entry. Isn't that arbitrary, or worse, just a way to squeeze money out of smaller brands?
From a purely financial perspective, it is easy to view it that way, but acting as the voice of reason here, mathematically, those budget floors are entirely dictated by the mechanics of machine learning. They aren't arbitrary.
Really? How so?
We have to look at how statistical significance works. The AI needs a dense cluster of data points to optimize properly. It needs to show the ad to a wide pool of people, track the specific individuals who actually buy, and then analyze their shared characteristics. Buying those initial impressions to gather that data costs money.
So if you only spend $10, the algorithm might only find two people who buy the product.
Precisely. And two or three conversions is just random statistical noise. It cannot build a reliable demographic profile based on three people. It needs, say, 50 conversions to realize that the people buying your shampoo also happen to watch specific dog grooming videos, you know.
Ah, I see.
If a small business takes a tiny budget and spreads it incredibly thin across multiple ad groups, they are starving the system. It never acquires enough data fuel on any single ad group to map the audience. By enforcing a $500 minimum, the platform is ensuring that the campaign actually purchases enough data to find the right audience.
It's forcing you to buy enough puzzle pieces for the AI to actually see the picture, rather than buying three pieces and wondering why it doesn't look like anything. Okay, that completely shifts how you have to view the entry price.
Yeah.
And before we move on, we should note that the guide mentions this specific architecture, where the engagement equity is permanently locked onto the creator's original post, is a specific mechanism of TikTok Spark ads. Meta does offer a conceptually similar feature called partnership ads, right?
Yes, Meta has partnership ads, but the technical backend and how the permissions and data flow operate are distinctly different. The permanent retention of the engagement data is unique to the Spark format.
Good to clarify. So understanding this entire ecosystem completely redefines how brands should approach their marketing budgets moving forward. If we distill everything we've unpacked today down to a single foundational takeaway for you, the listener, it comes down to the strict sequence of operations.
The sequence is non-negotiable. Organic and paid marketing are meant to work in that specific sequence. Organic first, then paid. Budget goes behind proof.
You stop funding the guesswork. But looking at the trajectory of this strategy loop, it leaves me with a final, slightly provocative thought for you to chew on. If every single major brand entirely adopts this Spark ad loop, and the data suggests they are, our feeds are going to become completely saturated with this raw, unscripted, sponsored content.
They absolutely will.
So if everything in our feed looks perfectly raw and messy, will users eventually develop an entirely new kind of ad blindness to authenticity itself? Could the next major disruption in digital advertising, 5 years down the line, be a massive swing all the way back to highly produced theatrical commercials just to stand out?
It highlights the constant pendulum swing of media consumption. When a specific format of authenticity is engineered at an industrial scale, its impact inevitably shifts.
It's a pendulum that never stops swinging. So the next time you are scrolling through your feed and you find yourself fully engrossed in a genuine product tutorial, just take a second to glance down at the bottom left corner of your screen. Look for that little sponsored tag. Keep observing the ads in your own feeds to see this multi-million-dollar evolution playing out in real time. Thanks for going deep into the data with us today.